site within this thing, many of the lights are not functioning. And then he says that he has been reporting to household services, that's the right term here in Paris, that some of these venues, they don't have functional lights. And household services will say that it's the responsibility of public works. So I'm looking at the officials from public works. And I asked this gentleman, for how long is this problem? And he says it's more than a year.
Yeah.
So I say that that cannot be correct. So I said that it means that every time a committee meets here, you have to find out who the chairperson and for one the chair that are going to sit in that room.
Yeah.
And he said, unfortunately, that is so. So I'm just passing the message to Public Works, please. Sort out these things from game or somewhere.
Mm.
It can't be a major thing that needs a tender for 3 years. Content advisor, sir. Today is the day that you end your living. You take us through the draft report, and members will issue their comments. I have sight of what I call the first draft report, and I'm told there's another second draft report that's circulated. Unfortunately, I did not have the benefit of the second one, but I will be able to make my comments. What concerned me about the first one was that a report should be coherent. This is where we are, but there were some aspects that I thought could have been improved. I'm sure members also raised the issues that they came across. To me, what's important is that the report that we submit to Parliament should be such that we as members of this portfolio committee is part of our fingerprints thereon. So we should feel satisfied that at least it's a fair reflection of the work that we are doing. I'm not prepared to submit a report that I'm not happy about. If the structure is bad, if it's not written well, it can be. You can't be responsible for slotting. I would also expect that the team that has prepared this report, you feel the same. You should take pride in what you produce and put in front of us. With that introduction, we are in your able answer. Just before that, Honorable Paula Bannett.
The chair, you referred to a second draft. I received an email on the 14th. Is that the correct version that I'm looking at? That's the one. Thank you.
That it sounds like the same draft that I received.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Chair, you're correct, there has been a number of drafts. The copy that I have in front of me is one of the later drafts that made it, so there were changes to the one that I think you saw. I'm not certain whether this draft is the one that was sent to the
To make it easier, the draft that I have in front of me, it has a heading in bold, and it says the date is 19th April. Today is the 19th April. I just want to make sure that we are all utilizing the same one.
Yes. Yeah.
You have that one, Honorable Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
so you may proceed. At least we all have the same document.
Chairperson, the draft has the normal format of reports that the committee section uses for budget reports. The introduction sketches the oversight responsibility over the department and entities that report to the Minister of Public Works. Those are the Independent Development Trust, the Construction Industry Development Board, the Agrimo SA, and the Council for Both Environments. The committee conducted public hearings with the department, the IDT, CLED, CDE, and AgriMoSA to oversee the strategic plan's annual performance plans and budget for the 2016-17 financial year. There is an error that correcting chair should be slashed 17 rather than just 17. The subsection 1 sketches the broad policy environment, and Shepherdson, that one is one that speaks of the Public Finance Management Act and the responsibilities of the Director General in relation to that of the Minister. And then it also makes the link with the policy of government, the National Development Plan, State of the Nation Address, Medium Term Strategic Framework, and Cabinet Report. I'll go through a chapter by paragraph by paragraph, not sure. The Minister of Public Works is the policy leader of the Department of Public Works and the Built Environment and Construction Entities. The Director General of the Department of Public Works and the senior management team execute their responsibilities under the policy leadership of the Minister. Similarly, the boards and the administration components of each entity execute their respective responsibilities under the Minister's policy leadership. This relationship is further guided by the Public Finance Management Act that refers to the Minister as the executive authority, while the Director General is the executing authority of the portfolio of public works. This says portfolio of public works in the sense that it is a sector, as described earlier. The distinction is noteworthy as it sketches an oversight responsibility of the DG and senior management team as executing authority for the programs of the department that must implement programs in line with the policy which is the Minister's responsibility. The Minister has an executive oversight responsibility over the boards whose chairpersons report to the Minister. The administrative component of each entity under the leadership of the Chief Executive Officer is responsible for the implementation of programs that should also be aligned to the policies of the Minister and Government. The Portfolio Committee exercises oversight over whether and how the policy priorities that are stated in the National Development Plan.
Chairperson.
I don't know, it's only me. I don't have to test it.
There are members without these two. Could we kindly ensure that they have?
Okay. In that it seems that only number of them are not there. Maybe it was even number on both sides, but
yeah, it was
duplicated. It became on one side. All the big even numbers are not there. You only photocopy the upper.
Mr. Savini says that the leadership has been. How do we proceed? How do we proceed to solve this problem?
Look at it, the
next door, Prince of Hats, very quickly. Well,
yeah.
Should you kindly indulge me for 5 minutes
whilst
we get a good copy?
Thank you.
Send me a SMS at the center minister said, I have an excuse, I wish that my image. Mr. Melebo, I want to have that thing, I have a copy printed.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. When I print up an annual. What I want to know is for the patient the last time, what did they say?
Oh.
What connects the message to the physician for his life or the patient?
Oh.
How did the patient and what has been the relevant person to get the information? Yeah. And Thank you.
given the final version, usually they put versions, you know, two, three, four, to edit and edit it.
That means that we call the content advisor. Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah. So there's another one. You heard there was another one, just not the one. Because you get another one.
The very first one.
I understand. Of course. You can move on with that, yes.
Yeah. Thanks for reading. Message we have from the where's the man? He must be here, he doesn't have a swing. He went to the ladies. Welcome back. We all have the relevant document to the proceed.
I'm doing the second paragraph at the top, starting with the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee exercises oversight over whether and how the policy priorities that are stated in the National Development Plan, the medium-term strategic framework, the 2016 State of the Nation address, and cabinet reports are implemented. In addition, it keeps a check on how the minister oversees the programmatic implementation of policies that the DG and the department, as well as the entities, are responsible for. These policy priorities are translated into programmatic imperatives that the department and entities must execute through each financial year over the medium-term expenditure period. Each program of the department is headed by a DG, Deputy Director General, who is responsible for the execution of programmatic components of the policy that the minister is responsible for. Hence, the PFMA's description of the DG as the executing authority. In this position, it is the DG and the senior management team that executes that directs the execution of programs through the appropriate use of the allocated budgeted funds to concretize the policies for which the minister and the executive authority is responsible. These programmatic imperatives are described in the department's 5-year plan and its annual performance plan. An important aspect of the APP are key performance areas and indicators that enable the tracking of whether, when, and how the programs give effect to the public works policy during the financial year. The budgetary allocations to each of these programs makes it possible for the DG and his team of DGs to assign personnel with the requisite capacities and tools to execute the imperatives as described in the strategic plan and the APP. Significantly, the 2016-17 annual performance plan includes the separation of the function of the property management trading entity from that of the department. This means that the regulatory and policy, quality norms and standard setting, and monitoring functions remain the department, while the service delivery functions fall under the PMG. That will be repeated later on when we get to the different components. The separation of function is an outcome of the turnaround strategy along which the minister as executive authority of the department has moved the department. This is a deliberative transformative agenda that is unfolding over the medium term. The turnaround strategy moved the DPW into a phase of stabilization and has resulted in the repositioning of the organization to better discharge its responsibilities. This turnaround strategy was necessary to address the historically poor performance and a lack of adequate management and financial controls that the Department of Public Works has suffered from. It is well known that for 8 consecutive years, the Department had adverse audit findings, with high levels of fraud and corruption having been reported on in the reports of the Public Protector and the Special Investigations Unit. In its 2015-2020 revised strategic plan, and there we just opposed Chair, there was a 2015-2020 strategic plan, and in this particular year the Minister revised that strategic plan to explain the phase of the general strategy where the Department finds itself in and the PNG finds itself in. That is the one we are going to here. The Minister reported in this plan that the general strategy has delivered results and that it is in a phase where it is now ensuring, quoting the minister, effective implementation through a focused plan with measurable deliverables against budgets and time frames. The turnaround strategy importantly includes the realignment of the department to secure a better focus on its mandate as custodian and portfolio manager of government's renewable assets. It means that because the PMTE, there is an addition that needs to make the chair the word taking as a result, had become operational in the 2015-16 financial year, the department would now be able to exercise much better oversight over policy formulation, coordination, regulation and oversight related to the provision of accommodation and expert built environment services to client departments. The PMTE is now focused on the planning, acquiring, managing and disposing of immovable assets. The second part of the report deals with the presentations and analysis of strategic plans, annual performance plans and budget allocations. It starts with the Department of Public Works. Chairperson, I am not going through every single one of the acts. Just to say that what we list here is, first of all, we state that the constitutional mandate of the DPW is provided for Schedule 4, Part A of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. These are functional areas of concurrent national and provincial legislative competence. We refer to this and the rest of the legislative mandate in the form of IAMA, Construction Development Act, etc. Just to note here that, and honourable members, that this is the one component that we expect the department to deliver on. It is the fact that this department doesn't have a single act that actually states its legislative mandate. And that is the aspect of the review of the white papers that is forthcoming. So, with that picture, I'm leaving the legislative mandate and moving over to, well, here's reference to the DPW white paper and the policy terrain that is faced by that, as well as the construction sector transformation charters, the different versions of it, and BEV, etc. The priorities for 2016-17 needs to be listed. They are delivering jobs through a fast-growing economy. I'm on page 4, if you have with me. Stimulating growth through an infrastructure development program, reducing wasteful expenditure. That includes the proposal to move Parliament from Cape Town to Victoria. Collecting different policy priorities that are stated in the state of the nation average, that's why that one is to practice as well. Collecting the public works goal for public comment. Signing 12 cooperation and protocol agreements for joint service delivery with provinces and municipalities. Convening 12 intergovernmental relations forums to oversee the public works sector, and approving and renewing 8 prestige policies. The budget allocation follows. apologies. The budget for this particular year totals 6.5 billion, which is very little if we compare and if we think of the function of the department. We think of a department such as police, for instance, that has 81 billion, defense that has 41 billion, etc. So this is a department that accommodates all the client departments, and 6.5 billion is actually very little. And the Department of Public Works received that amount, with which to accomplish its priority, I'm on top of page 5. It represents an increase of 3.4% in nominal terms, and a decline of 2.9% in real terms, that's calculating the impact of inflation from the 2015-16 adjusted appropriation of 6.3 billion. That's for the previous year, of course. The department's budget represents approximately 0.1% of the national appropriation by vote, and that's the remark that I made just a little. In terms of economic classification, the departmental budget includes transfers totaling 85.4% of the budget, with a total monetary value of 5.5 billion from the 5.4 billion allocation in 2015-16, constitutes an increase of 171.9 million or 3.1% nominal and a decrease of 3.2 in terms. An important aspect of the department's work is that coordinating work the implementation of public work policies across the spheres of government. And there's 1.43 billion of additional grants that does the provinces and municipalities is what we're referring to. And so 3.5 billion is allocated to departmental agencies and accounts. During the 16-17 financial year, current payments amounted to 14.1% of the budget, and capital payments amounted to 0.6% of the budget. Compensation of employees decreased by 4.2 million from 475 million in 2015-16 adjusted period to 470.8 million in the 16-17 financial year. Now, apart from the realignment of the department, revenue is generated through the PMG that collects lease, that collects rental by letting properties and official quarters, and also sells land and buildings. It is projected that the department will collect revenue to a total value of 1.5 million for 16-17 financial year. This is a decline of 404,000 from the 1.9 million in 1560. The department does not subcategorize sale of goods and services produced as it did in the past. There's no figures therefore for much generated from the following. Sale by market establishment. This is currently an open rental parking. Administration fees for service utilized and for commission insurance. And other sales of tender documents and rental of capital assets. The Department of Public Works consists of five main programs and its relevant sub-programs. Some of the programs have been reorganized with functions and sub-programs shifted, and at least the programs were renamed. Below is an expenditure analysis for the Department by program. Administration has the function of strategic leadership management and support services to the Department. For the 2016-17 financial year, administration received an allocation of 516.6 million. I'm not going to go through the real and nominal terms, changes to speed the process up a bit. In terms of economic classification, administration includes current payments to the value of 484.7 million, of which 251.4 million is to be spent on compensation of employees. The budget for the compensation of employees under Program 1 declines with 4.4% in nominal and 10.4% in real terms in that financial year. Further, the department allocates 233.3 million to goods and services. There's an increase here of 39.6 million. Further expenditure plans for goods and services for 2016 includes what is captured in the table that follows. Note that what we did here was to highlight the nominal and real increase, sorry, the nominal increase and decrease for 2016 in the virtual column. Then there follows an analysis of the table and shows that property payments have increased by 24.5 million, legal services increased by 16.3 million, operating leases by 12.2 million, computer services 10.5 million, current subsistence increased by 7.9 million, and audit costs increased by 1.2 million. Now, it should be noted that contrary to the 2016 Federation Act that indicated that government departments had to institute cost-cutting measures for such items, the amount allocated for travel and subsistence increased. And that is the amount of 7.9 million, 31.8% in real terms. I turn to page 7 at the top, second paragraph. A total of 22.3 billion is allocated towards capital expenditure. This allocation is for machinery and equipment. Software and other intangible assets decreased by 100%. As it did not receive an allocation for the 2016-17 and the previous 2015 and 16 financial years. It should however be noted that the item is listed as computer services and it is in the table above. We go to program 2, which is intergovernmental coordination. Its function is to promote some intergovernmental relations as the team partnerships. It coordinates with provinces on the immovable asset registers, construction and property management, the implementation of the government Immovable Asset Management Act, and the reporting of performance information within the larger public works sector. Program 2 was one of the main programs of the department prior to the changing of programs that was shifted to Program 4. It proportionally represents 0.48% of the overall budget allocation for 2016-17. Its 2016-17 allocation of 31.4 million constitutes a decrease of 14.3 million. And this represents a nominal increase of 31.3% and 35.6% in the real terms from the 45.7% that was allocated in the 15-16 financial year. Expenditure for Program 2 for this financial year currently consists of the following sub-programs. That's monitoring and relations and reporting, which receives an allocation of 16.8 million. That's a decrease of 14.6 million from the 31.4 that was received in the previous financial year. The intergovernmental relations and coordination receives an allocation of 14.6 million. This increase of 300,000 from the 14.3 million received in the previous financial year. In terms of economic classification, 28.1 million is allocated to current things, which constitutes a decrease of 15.8 million. Compensation of employees consists of 22.1 million, which is a decrease of 9.4 million. Goods and services, 6.1 million, decrease of 6.3 million. The following are the receivables. 400,000, which is a decrease there of 100,000 towards the Falcons, business advisory services. 1.1 million, which is a decrease there of 800,000 towards the departmental agency and support and outsourcing of services. And 1.2 million, with a decrease of 1.8 million for travel and subsistence. This is noteworthy because it could be that that decrease and that it is in line with the set of the national average. And this particular decrease could be the one that we need to balance up with for the increase of ground subsistence in the first program. A number of areas report decreases, as was clearly indicated, such as the departmental agency and support slash outsourced services, which fund the turnaround strategy. And ground subsistence, as already mentioned, the allocation for communications remain unchanged at 500,000 for the 2016-17 financial. We go to Program 3, Expanded Public Works Program. It coordinates the implementation of the EPWP programs, fair work opportunities, and the provision of training for unskilled, marginalized, and unemployed people in South Africa. The 2016-17 program is appropriated 2.3 billion. Which proportionally represents 35.5% of the overall departmental budget. Expenditure increases at a nominal rate of 18.7% and a real of 11.4%. Allocations for EPWP are mainly for integrated grants for provinces and municipalities and the performance-based incentive allocations. The allocations are now reported under the following five EPWP sub-programs, that is monitoring and evaluation. I'm not going to read all the amounts shared to save time. Infrastructure, operations, partnership support services, and public employment and the public employment coordinating committee of the EPWP. Just to say that the integrated grant and the performance-based incentive allocations are important allocated monies that assists us to ensure that vulnerable people do have a chance to work and that they also get skills training in the process. In terms of economic classification, EPWP's budget includes current payments to the value of 290.9 million. 154.7 million is allocated to compensation of employees. This increases with 10.6 million from the 154.1 million of the previous year. This is to enhance the implementation of phase 3 of EPWP. To provide technical assistance and support to departments, provincial departments, that is, as well as some of the other departments such as water affairs and rural development and social development that assist in the non-tech sector of our government that also assist with labor intensive methods and skill training that is part of OEFP. At the top of page 9, expenditure on goods and services reaches 136.2 million. Of this total expenditure on the following items apply: consultants and professional services, business advisory services received 12.1 million, which is a decrease of 48.2 million from the previous year. Agency and support slash outsourced services receives 83.8 million, which is an increase of 52.6 million. Current subsistence received from 17 million. There is another decrease in public subsistence in the program fee of 1.8 million, and I will always refer to what happened in program 1, that increase. The bulk of the expenditure under program fee constitute transfers and subsidies. Total is 2 billion from the 1.68 billion of the 2016 financial year. 1.4 billion or 70.4% is assigned to provinces and municipalities and is allocated in the following way. 600.3 million is allocated to non-profit institutions. 664 million to integrated grants for municipalities. 402 million to integrated grants for provinces. 359.7 million towards social equity incentive grants for provinces. That's the same type of importance assigned to this that I referred to earlier. Number of objectives are outlined, including increasing Department of Public Works' participation in the implementation of the EPWP program by March 2017. And I need to indicate here that this is what I referred to earlier on, that strategic plans for APPs must show targets that can be achieved and that can be monitored. Another objective is to monitor and evaluate the implementation of EPWP to ensure that public bodies create 4.2 million, that's million work opportunities in the medium term. Ensure that employees from the designated groups, 55% women and youth, and 2% people with disabilities participate in EPWP, and to improve the number of work opportunities created by providing 250 public bodies that participate in EPWP with technical support. This is the technical support that they have reported to us on recently as far as data collection and the verification of data is concerned, but it's also financial aspects of it that we're missing in some of the officially municipal and provincial departments. Program 4, Property and Construction Industry Policy and Research, has the function of promoting the growth and transformation of construction and property industries, as well as to standardize the first and best practice in construction and removal asset management in the public sector. Program 4's budget decreases from 3.7 billion in 2015-16 to 3.6 billion in 2016-17. Program 4 consists of 8 sub-programs, which includes PMTE, which receives the bulk of the allocation with 3.4 billion for the 2016-17. From 3.5 billion of the previous financial year. There is sometimes a question about whether PMTE is an entity, where is it board, etc. Chair, this is part of the reason why not. There was a conscious decision of the minister to keep it as part of the department, and the labor program for it used that. That's the reason why they don't need for a board that would report in the same way as the other. The PSE was established in April 2006 as part of a longer-term reform program that improved property management services by departments. With the establishment of the PSE, all accommodation-related costs were devolved to private departments. In this regard, there have been issuing invoices and collecting use charges from client departments on a quarterly basis based on amounts that were devolved to those departments. In March 2015, the department operationalized the PMTE, which resulted in it being shifted along these functions to Program 4. That's a more detailed explanation that's required there. A large portion of the budget for basically 70 is allocated to transfers and subsidies, which amounts to 3.5 billion and 98.9% of the program budget. The sub-programs below received the following allocation for this financial year. Departmental agencies and accounts, these are non-business entities, received 3.5 billion, decreased from the 3.6 billion in previous financial year, of which Construction Industry Development Board, CIDB, is allocated 32.1 million, which is a decline from the previous year. The CDE, Council for the Built Environment, just to say that this Council for the Built Environment has a very important function in terms of transformation, which is part of this program four of the main budget. So the Council of Built Environment, because of that, received an allocation of 43.4 million, which is an increase of 3.3 nominal, but a decline in 3.1 in the real. Construction, Education and Training Authority, this is the CETA that is sometimes referred to, receives an allocation of 500,000, and this is the CETA that also is involved in skills training, not only for EPWP, EPWP draws from this, but other departments that does integrate the work with us also receives of this. It remains unchanged from the amount received in the 2015-16 financial year. The PMCE, as noted above, receives an allocation of 3.5 billion, which is a decrease of 3.4 in nominal and 9.4 in real terms. Sorry, those are percentages. The Construction Policy Development Sub-Program received an allocation of 36.2 million in 2016-17, which is an increase of 2.3% in real nominal terms, but a decline of 4% in real terms. The public policy, sorry, the Property Policy Development Program receives an allocation of 1.7 million, which is an increase of 11.4% in nominal and 4.5% in real terms. Foreign governments and international organizations receives 24.8 million, an increase of 6.4% in nominal, but a real decline of 0.2% from the 23.3 million allocated in 2015-16. This is mainly with the fluctuations in the exchange rate, this increase, by transferring the funding. The current weakening of the rand has an impact and may result in the department requiring an increase in its allocation from TV in the financial year. Just to that aspect. Current payments totals 38.4 million. 5.8% in nominal, but a decrease of 0.8% in real terms. Of this amount, compensation of employees receives an allocation of 16.3 million, which is an increase of 14.8% in nominal and 7.7% in real terms from the 14.2 million adjusted allocation in 2015-16. Goods and services, 22.1 million, remains unchanged from the previous financial year. And expenditures intended for the following. Consultants and professional services, business advisory services will receive 4.6 million from the allocation of 3.2, which is a change from the allocation of 3.3 million in 2015-16, this increase. Consultants and professional services, infrastructure and planning receives an allocation of 3.6 million, an increase of 3.4 million from the allocation of 200,000 in 2015-16 financial year. This is due to the implementation of the department's turnaround strategy. Some funds have been moved from different departments in this way to fund the turnaround strategy. Agency and support outsourced services received 2.4 million, decline of 200,000 from the allocation of the 12.6 million in the 2015-16 financial year. Current assistance received 400,000, a decline from the allocation of 2.2 million in 2015-16. And I'm stating here that the above section highlights an increase of 4.5 million to a total of 20.6 million in the 2016-17 from the 16.1 million in the 2015-16 financial year. This relates to the use of consultants under goods and services. Program 5, prestige policies. as a function to provide norms and standards for the procedure accommodation portfolio and to meet the protocol responsibilities for state function. The budget for program part increases to 96.1 million in 16-17 financial year. It represents 1.5% of the overall departmental budget. The increase from the 92.8 million in the previous year is a nominal increase of 3.6% and a real decrease of 2.9%. A large portion of the budget is allocated to current payments, which amounts to 35.7 million, and a total of 26.3 million is allocated to compensation of employees. The other share of 49.5 million is allocated to goods and services as follows. Minor assets receives 11.1 million, contractors 30 million, consumables, supplies 1.7 million, and travel as such systems 3.2 million. The other 9.8 million is allocated to transfers and subsidies. The transfer budget includes an allocation of 9.6 million to departmental agencies and accounts. That is the Parliamentary Villages Management Board, and 10.6 million to pay for capital assets, machinery and equipment. We move now, Chair, to the PSE. The PMTE, as a result of the operationalization of the PMTE, a new program budget structure was developed that took effect in the previous financial year, 2016, and the program budget structure is aligned to the immovable asset management function that the PMTE undertakes across the asset life cycle of government's immovable assets. The entity table is current status that offers strategic, my apologies for that, of strategic plans and annual performance plans based on this program budget structure in 2015-16. During the 2015-16 financial year, the DMTE revised the strategic overview of its strategic plan to ensure its proper alignment with the future organizational structure and business model of the entity. The quality priorities are listed here. I'll go through them, Chair. To address the organizational and capacity issues, these are structure, processes, and systems of the organization. To develop a detailed implementation plan for the transition to a government component, and that is how the PFT must be looked at a government component rather than as an entity that stands the structure and organizational character of other entities. To implement plans in line with the new State of the Nation average commitment, just between brackets, these are energy saving as part of a wider greening initiative, operations for key initiatives. Members may recall Operation Fakira referring to the ocean economy, smaller harbors that need to be redeveloped, smaller harbors in especially rural areas, and job creation aspect that would include rural development and land reform, job creation, unlocking the potential of small and medium and micro enterprises and cooperatives. The next one, to minimize underspending on capital budgets by improving the effectiveness of construction management, to review and re-engineer the property business across the immovable asset life cycle with a view to realizing long-term efficiencies as well as short and medium-term deliverables. The strategic goals of the PMTE are as follows. To support service delivery in a smart, active, and business-centric manner that is aligned to statutory requirements, to consolidate user departments that enable minorities, to consolidate user demands that enable planning and budgeting, to increase the value of the state immovable asset portfolio, to develop accommodation solutions for user departments in collaboration with relevant spheres of government, to meet user departments' accommodation requirements as per the approved infrastructure program implementation plan, that's IPIP, to provide quality accommodation and contribute to the financial sustainability of the PMTE, to provide relative, reliable immovable asset information that informs investment decisions and portfolio management, and to ensure optimal performance of the state immovable asset portfolio. The second last budget is one on which this committee would keep its attention as far as oversight is concerned, to ensure that the agency can generate more funds, of course, for the portfolio. The PMT and budget allocation follows in the table. And what follows from page 14 is the specific analysis for what's in the notes. Program 1, administration, provides strategic management, governance, and administrative support to the PMTE. 904, this is I noticed that this is a portion share that I think changed. Because the way in which the amount is stated here is not acceptable. It can go through like that share, but it should not be like that. Right on 4936 refers to million share, so I will read it in the proper way. 904 million has been allocated for the program. The spending focus for the medium term expenditure framework will be on management leadership, operations support management, finance and accounting management, and supply chain management. This is in line with the turnaround strategy focused on providing a compliant internal control of financial services and to ensure compliant supply chain management services. The bulk of the expenditures on compensation of employees, goods and services, day-to-day operations of the PHE, and phase two of the turnaround strategy to enhance the entity's operational efficiency. Goods and services for day-to-day operations have increased by 18% from the 2015-16 financial year to this year due to the transfer of supply chain management and business improvements in the budget from DPW to the PNCE. Compensation of employees increased by 10% from 2015-16 to 2016-17 due to the transfer of the business improvement unit budget from GPW to the PMT. Total expenditure is expected to reduce towards the outer year of the MTES as the turnaround strategy nears completion. Program 2, real estate investment management, that seeks to optimize utilization and maximize the value of the state property portfolio. This is what I paused about earlier on when I referred to the second last bullet earlier on. That is this investment aspect that we will keep our oversight focus on. 116 billion has been allocated for the focus over the medium term on user demand management planning and precinct development and investment management. The bulk of the expenditure within program 2 will be a compensation of employees. The allocated amount increases towards the outer year of the MTEF to ensure funding for the increased amount being required for user demand management, planning, and precinct development, and the precinct development sub-program is being rolled out. Just pausing, Chair. The precinct development refers to the change of the inner city regeneration focus that we used to have to precinct development. And as we can see, the funds will be used from the entity to the DFGE to actually implement it. This is also appropriate given strategic goal to increase the value of the state's immovable asset portfolio and the accompanying effort to manage the performance of the immovable asset portfolio to make informed investment decisions. Program 3 on page 15. Real estate investment management seeks to provide effective and efficient level of accommodation needs for the department, public works, and planning departments through construction. 5.8 million has been allocated this financial year, with the amount increasing to 540 million in the after year. The bulk of the expenditure for Program 3 will be for refurbishment, upgrades, and new infrastructure projects. The program has a set target of 339 design solutions completed by identified user departments and 90% implementation of infrastructure delivery management system for key user departments. Funding for federal project amounts to 66, and here I have to pause, that is 66 million. In the 2016-17 financial year, was 68 allocated in the final year of the DPW turnaround strategy. As a result of the cabinet budget cuts, refurbishments will be cut by 250 million in 2016-17, and DPW infrastructure in the form of the Border Control Operational Coordination Committee by 76 million. This Border Control Operational Coordinating Committee is an intergovernmental structure in which DPW plays a leading role. This budget cut will be relevant for 2017-18 and 2018-19 financial years as well. Program 4, real estate management seeks to timelessly provide and manage suitable accommodation in sports client needs to meet their service delivery objectives. The amount of 5.9 billion has been allocated to provide and manage functional and user-friendly accommodation for all client departments. The bulk of the expenditure in this program is sent towards operating leases, amounting to 4.3 billion, property rates 1.1 billion, and municipal services 260 million. We start on page 13, program 5. The real estate information and registry services seeks to develop and manage complete, accurate and compliant removable asset register to meet service delivery objectives for the state, department and PMTE business requirements. The removable asset register program is an important deliverable towards the full operationalization of the PMTE. The bulk of the funds in this program is allocated to the removable register project, 28 million allocated in 16-17 and 35 million allocated in 17-18 towards the finalization of the terminal strategy. The rest of the expenditure is allocated to a compensation of employees and phase 2 of the terminal strategy to enhance operational efficiencies. Total expenditure is expected to reduce over the FTEF as the terminal strategy nears completion, phase 2 of it. Program 6. Facilities management seeks to ensure that removable assets used by government departments and the public are optimally utilized and maintained in a safe, secure, healthy and ergonomic environment while contributing to job creation, skills development and poverty alleviation. The spending focus of the medium term expenditure framework is on the implementation of scheduled maintenance programs to manage and minimize unscheduled maintenance incidents, which will always cost more, and to reduce the consumption of resources. The bulk of the expenditure is for the compensation of employees, repair, maintenance, and cleaning and gardening. We turn to the entities that report to the Minister of Public Works, and these are the ones that are structured differently from the PMT. The Construction Industry Development Board is a Schedule PA public entity that is the schedule that describes how it reports to a board with the CEO, etc., and what its relationship is to the Minister of Public Works and its function in the portfolio of public works. The CIDB is expected to provide, and we quote here from this act, to provide leadership to stakeholders and to stimulate the sustainable growth, reform and improvement of the construction sector for effective delivery and the industry's enhanced role in the country's economy. In terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the board of the CIDB is the accounting authority responsible to the Minister of Public Works and the Executive Authority. The board submits its annual performance plan and budget for approval to the Minister. The mandate of the CIDB is to provide strategic leadership to the construction industry stakeholders, to stimulate sustainable growth, reform and improvement of the sector, to promote sustainable growth of the construction industry and the participation of the emerging sector in the industry, to determine, establish and promote improved performance and best practice of the public and private sector clients, contractors and other participants in the construction delivery process, to promote uniform application of policy through all spheres of government and promote uniform ethical standards, construction procurement reform, and improved procurement delivery management, including the construction code of conduct. Finally, to develop systematic methods for monitoring and regulating the performance of the industry and its stakeholders, including the registration of projects and contractors. second reading study more essay. Tribunal South Africa is one of four entities reporting to the minister and is mandated to provide fitness for purpose assurance of technologies that optimize resource utilization and realize cost savings in the industry. The entity was established by the Minister of Public Works in 1969. It's the oldest one, and mandated to support and promote the process of integrated socio-economic development in South Africa as it relates to building and construction industries by facilitating the introduction, application, and utilization of satisfactory innovation and technology development. The entity's mandate means that AgriMASA's board is expected to support and promote the country's process of integrated socio-economic development, facilitate the introduction, application, and utilization of satisfactory innovation technology development, and on AgriMASA's position in the internationally acknowledged objectives of African Center for the Assessment and Certification of Non-Standardized Construction Products. The third entity is the Council for the Balkan Environment. It's the Schedule 3A entity established by the Council for the Balkan Environment Act. According to the Act, the CE and professional councils in the Balkan Environment value chain are to regulate those Balkan Environment professions who conceptualize, design, build, maintain, and transfer social and economic infrastructure. The six professional councils that it regulates are the following: South African Council for the Architectural Professions, the Engineering Council of South Africa, the South African Council for the Project and Construction Management Professions, South African Council for the Landscape Architectural Professions, South African Council for the Quantity Surveying Professions, and South African Council for the Property Valuers Profession. The CTE is a statutory council established in terms of the Act as an overarching body for six built environment professions, and is mandated to promote and protect the interests of the public in both environments, promote and maintain a sustainable both environment and natural environment, promote ongoing human resource development in the both environment, facilitate participation by the both environment professions in integrated development, promote appropriate standards of health, safety, and environmental protection in the both environment, promote sound governance of the both environment professions, and then both environment professions councils, promote liaison in the field of training in the Republic and elsewhere, and to promote standards of such training in the Republic. Serves as a forum for the built environment professions where the built environment professions can discuss relevant issues, ensure uniform application of norms and guidelines set by the professional councils throughout the built environment. We reflect on the budget allocation of 45.4 million. That the CBE received for the financial year, and it uses this budget allocation for four identified strategic goals stated in the middle of page 18, that is both environment, that is responsive to development and economic priorities of government, a transformed both environment with appropriate adequate skills and competencies responsive to the country's infrastructure delivery, operation and maintenance needs, thirdly, an optimally functioning both environment with a responsive and relevant policy and legislative framework based on informed and researched positions. Both environment professional councils that operate within the regulated policy of the national government and outlined by the Minister of Public Works in the Minister's revised strategic plan for 1617 and the both environment legislative framework. There's a reflection here, Chair, of the policy goals of the CBE and the four programs that it designed through which to give effect to this, as well as its link with the National Development Plan. Its program 1 contributes to outcomes 4, 6, and 12 of the National Development Plan. It facilitates incorporation of health and safety in construction, environmental systems. Facilitating the incorporation of health and safety in construction, environmental sustainability, and job creation through labor-intensive construction, as well as the infrastructure delivery management system in both environment curricula in academic institutions. Program 2 contributes to work of outcome 5, which is skilled and capable workforce support and inclusive growth fund, and it does it through the following initiatives: the SIPS project, which is the Integrative Infrastructure projects, the mathematics and science for support program, and the placement and support of golden model candidates and implementing work-based structured training. In addition to these initiatives, the CPE is developing a transformation strategy to ensure inclusivity in college skills within the golden environment. Program 2 is a very important one that the CPE needs to deliver on in collaboration with the World Environmental Professional Councils, as one of the members of a number of engagements has stated as problematic. Program 3 contributes to outcomes 4, 6, and 12 of the NDP by entering into partnerships with government and state-owned entities to facilitate research both environment capacity building programs for the public sector. Other partnerships will contribute towards the strengthening of labor intensive techniques initiatives. Program 4 contributes indirectly to outcome 12 of the NDP, which has as outcome efficient, effective, and developed oriented public service. And this contribution is to service as a fuel body for aggrieved members of the public. The CDE also contributes towards this outcome by facilitating the capacity building of the 6 Golden Environment Professional Councils through cooperative governance, PFMA compliance, and strategic planning. As part of the function as an appeals body that regulates the construction industry and building environment professions, the CDE is further involved in a special project with the Construction Industry Development Board and the Competition Commission to follow up on instances where members of the Golden Environment Professional Councils were involved in alleged collusion. In its interaction with the CDE, the committee heard of governance matters that threatened to impact negatively on the operations of the institution. The entity has made changes to its organogram that seems to attempt to strengthen its skills development and research function. This is welcome, but there is concern that once organizations make changes to its organogram, staff or institutional knowledge may be lost in the process. The fourth entity is the Independent Development Trust, IDT. The IDT was established in 1990 through a government endowment of 2 billion rand as an independent temporary grant making agency. Between 1996, the organization in its capacity as a grant making agency allocated and dispersed resources to community-based organizations and structures to poor and disadvantaged communities. It offered program management and development advisory services to government departments and other development partners. In March 1997, the IDT was constituted as a development agency and public entity to support all spheres of government. Cabinet then endorsed a recommendation of a cabinet advisory committee that, in the area, the IDT must be transformed into a government development agency that will implement projects which are commissioned by government departments. It must cease to be a civil society organization and an independent agency or funding agency. The IDT was integrated into the public service delivery system in 1999 with the promulgation of the Public Finance Management Act as amended and listed as a Schedule 2 major public entity. The 1997 mandate of the IDT remains in place. The shareholder contract with the government, that is the executive authority, and the IDT is in keeping with the provisions of the PMMA. And the relations promulgated in terms thereof. In its annual performance plan for 2016-17, the IDT states its alignment to the policies of government and commitment towards the rebuilding of the Department of Public Works, the 5-year policy statement and vision for 2014-2019. The IDT is busy with another strategy to strategically position the IDT as a senior social infrastructure program delivery entity. Secondly, regain the confidence of the shareholders, client departments, and shareholders, stakeholders. Thirdly, ensure financial sustainability, proven financial management and accountability for the IDT as well as for client funds. Fourthly, attract and retain appropriately qualified, committed and motivated personnel. And fifthly, to deal effectively with the Auditor General's findings by developing and deploying effective and efficient business systems. We do reflect on the IEP's financial situation by saying that its financial forecast for the next medium-term expenditure framework coming, I should say for the current, not the next, so this MT covering the 2016-17 to 2018-19 financial years is reflecting a negative deficit despite a growing portfolio of projects to be delivered on behalf of government. The forecasted deficit is expected to be funded out of the funds invested for institutions and also out of long outstanding management fees to be recovered from the client departments. Management fees are the only source of revenue to sustain the IP financially, and it's been budgeted at an average of 6.5% to 7% of the expected program expenditure through the MTE. The overhead expenditure is budgeted at $395 million for the 2016-17 financial year, and it's expected to grow at an average rate of 13% for the next 2 years. Just to pause and say that the IET therefore argues that because of that growth, that it will be able to collect its long outstanding management fees, and there in that way become a going concern again. It's for members to decide what it is to say in recommendation to the IET on that matter. There are findings that are listed here, and then we turn to five recommendations. I'll read through the findings and members will then add or subtract it. The committee noted the effects of the turnaround strategy on the department's compliance with national treasury legislation and regulation. It looks forward to the annual report and the reports of the Auditor General on the audited financial statements of the department to find further evidence of the improved results on the allocated spending on the turnaround strategy. Secondly, the committee noted with concern that the IDT was not showing a profit. The committee notes that the entity has a valuable role to play in an environment where there is a substantial backlog in social infrastructure delivery at provincial and local government level. It anticipates that once the IDT can control its portfolio of projects, it can return to operating as a going concern. Thirdly, the committee noted the governance challenges and changes that are taking place in the CDE, Council of the Built Environment. It is concerned that valuable staff may be lost in the process and urges the entity to give sufficient attention to the matter. Fourthly, the allegations on the way in which EPWP beneficiaries were selected in different municipalities is a matter of concern. The department had to investigate specific cases that were raised by members of the committee. In turn, when members of the committee had information, they had to report these to the department so that such incidents could be dealt with. Fifthly, with regards to the asset register, the immovable asset register, the committee noted that several hundreds of assets were investigated mainly for illegal occupation under the Operation Bringback Program. This is reported to us that 1,200 properties could not be located using the government information system. The department was in the process of engaging the register of deeds and the Office of the Survey General in the Department of Development and Land Reform to locate these properties. Sixth, with regards to the operationalization of the PMGE, the committee noted the need for the appointment of suitably qualified and experienced property management, maintenance, and investment specialists to ensure the sustainable operationalization of an excellent property management and training entity of the South African government that can make the most appropriate property investment decisions for a developmental economy. With regards to instances where the value of a property could not be verified, the committee heard that municipal valuation rules were used to gauge the cost of a property as a measure of arriving at a proper value. Seventh, in the 2016-17 financial year, the department was planning on submitting before Parliament a CADB bill, and in 2018-19 would submit a CBE amendment bill as well as a public works bill. That is the note, that is the findings and what the committee noted from the engagement of the strategic plan, the revised strategic plan and the 2016-17 annual performance plans and the budget. We get to section 5 of the report, which are the recommendations. These are not recommendations as yet. These are suggested recommendations, they are draft recommendations, and again, the committee can change them. Firstly, the minister should provide a status report on the parliamentary village board as plans to ensure improved management of movable and movable assets and security at parliamentary villages. Second, the committee urges the minister as part of the leader to ensure that the delay in the review of the white papers is addressed so that the mandate of the department can be properly spelled out and the draft public works goal can be concluded and submitted to parliament. Thirdly, the committee further urges the minister to ensure that the CIB Act and the CEE Act are appropriately amended to boost the much needed transformation of the construction and built environment and the built environment professional councils. Fourthly, the minister should provide a report that details the links that the EPWP beneficiaries have to the programs of the Department of Small Business Development and the Department of Higher Education and Training. Fifthly, the minister should provide a report outlining the efforts to engage the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to locate the 1,100 properties that could not be located and to update the removal asset register so that the department can comply with the government removal asset register. And the final draft recommendation is that the minister should provide a report on the continued operationalization of the PMCE towards operational efficiency, with specific attention to the ongoing efforts to obtain the best possible property management, maintenance, and investment decisions. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the overview. Members, your opportunity for comments, suggestions, where there can be improvements. The first thing that went up was that of Honourable Palabandh, followed by Honourable Zanini, and then Honourable Sifoni.
Yes, I just wanted to thank Environment and Match for a really in-depth summary of everything that was done prior to my arrival and after my arrival. I've got one or two things I would check in my notes in relation to what support is here, so I'll come back with a couple of things later. Thank you.
I'm not in a position to raise the issue. You said you can't.
I'm just looking for the white paper. I was to double check.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, okay.
Honourable Salim.
I'm not sure that we should be able to get this thing or an expert measure to get this thing. That guy should be a response on this one. But we will go through this, go still there, they don't exist. And I think it's transitionally, as a community, to say that we're discussing our wages, especially in the poor community. We will go 2 billion in the budget on the spend on public works, those kept in the public works. And we all know that thing is not good. Some of the money they say is already, we reach those over 30. But our people who are walking behind the car, picking up water, throwing them on the side of the road. And we must sit here and say, no, that is the money for training. I mean, 20 times to our people. Second, even those jobs that they say, you know, creating so many jobs. Especially to our fellow engineers from the AC, if they want to understand about the long-term jobs, they want to speak to the student management department. We've been here for a long time. That's a long-term job. Not just people 3 months. People they work for 3 months. I've never seen anyone else for 3 months and be in their house and take it to school and do everything. And year in, year out, we get these figures. Long-term jobs. Which the other one that I don't even understand, I don't want to understand, is this job opportunity. Maybe the development can explain to us. What is the job opportunity? Because according to my understanding, there are two people in the country. There's a person like me who gets a salary every month. then the recovery village was not getting anything because it's not working. So this formula of job opportunities, I don't know why those people leave, and I think it's just that's what I'm saying. It's, I don't know if I need to spend more time on this on this thing. I mean, we spoke into the issue of fragments owning his own properties for 4 billion that's sitting here for you. I don't know for what. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's just a very thing. So it's just a very thing.
Honorable Jalil, thanks for your view. All your views are, we might not always agree with what you say, but I'll protect your right to say it. The next honorable member that had his hand up was Honorable Sitole. And then I see the hand of Honorable Kopani, and I'll come back to you. Honorable Kolabanis. After Kopani will be Honorable Marcia. Proceed, please, sir.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the name from the member. First one, I have a suggestion that if they can have a speech that will concentrate on these acronyms, because we have a lot of acronyms in this report. And the other thing, Chairperson, is on page 1, paragraph 3, where they say the national authority of the portfolio of public works is that the portfolio of public works or the department of public works, because if you're talking about portfolio, you're talking about us, but department is headed by the department of public works. I don't know from that number. Another question is on page 3, bullet number 1.
However, that's kind of findings. If there are issues that we need to further put under that heading, we will do so. And if some of the points with regards to recommendations, just by way of example, if there is a general feeling that the issue of travel that has gone up, we can mention that also under recommendations, what we recommend in regards to that. For the department to be more frugal
so we can have it under findings or under recommendation, make a specific recommendation. The next after Honorable Sithole was Honorable Kopan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I think the presentation was very good. It is somehow confirmed about what I knew, it was like an eye-opener, though I am contrary to your present presentation. On page 10, I can see that the department is spending 24.8 million on the foreign government and international organization. I don't understand that we may be the industrial player, what are those foreign governments or those international organizations? This is kind of why it is okay. My other question, Chair, is regarding on page 15, under program 3, that's a point of clarity. I just wanted to find out here, apparently they say they are funding for general projects, amount to, I don't know, 66 million or what is here. What are those turnaround projects? If we, I don't have a point of view, if you can clarify on turnaround projects, what projects are they? My last one, Chair, under program for the same page, they talk about friendly accommodation for all clients' department. What is friendly accommodation? I don't understand that page.
Yes, if we can clarify that, most of the amount for foreign governments, I would assume that part of that is covered by the work rates that are maintained and others. But we need to explicate so that somebody who's not part of this committee can understand and have the information there.
Yes. Could the honourable member just repeat, because the last two points I was telling you to check way on the...
Could you kindly use your microphone?
Page 15, under program 3 and under program 4. Program 4, that we talk about the friendly accommodation. So we mentioned about the friendly accommodation, what does that mean? And then program 3 is there, we talk about funding for a turnaround project, amount of 66 million. What are those turnaround projects? Thank you.
Thanks. Honorable members here, and we'll be next up.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also thank the presenter for this comprehensive report that he has just given us. I've just learned that on several occasions, where it is not specified blind if we can do that on all pages, not only on one. It's appearing on many of the pages if we can pay attention to that one. And then secondly, is the issue of the EPWP project, which I think it has really assisted a lot to people who are unemployed. It just has got some problems that need to be addressed, that us as the committee, we must assist the department, the municipalities and so on, guide them on how they can improve on it. But otherwise, it does work where people are using it for time. For example, you get a person who gets into a project, let's say it is a project where they are building a hall, and this person maybe is doing electrification at a particular project. There are some examples. And that person is trained on electrification. At the end of that project, we expect that person to be able to do that job and do it on his own. That is the way that they have a job opportunity, because now you are able now to do the job on your own. You can even do it being hired somewhere else, because now you have got the certificate that you got from the training. If it is done properly from all the industry.
Thank you, Chair. So the two issues I wanted to raise are on page 21, 4.2. Now, it says the committee noted the concern that the IDT is not showing a profit. Now, there were actually huge concerns in that it received a disclaimer from the Auditor General
The CFO was fired in December. 20 others fled the department before they could be charged. Millions are missing, and performance is down to 65%. So, yeah, I think there was quite a bit more that I think should have been highlighted there, more than just the fact that it's not showing the profits. I think we mentioned it in depth. The other one that I just wanted to raise was the 4.5 with regard to the asset register. The committee noted that several hundreds of assets were investigated for illegal occupation. Now, I took down verbatim notes. Operation Bring Back it was launched recently to enable them to identify illegally occupied properties or illegally transferred. There are thousands of assets that are being investigated for illegal occupation, and this is standard. So that's my notes. I would probably, I do take it under base, so I'm going to do this correct. So you might want to just alter that to thousands instead of hundreds. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, if we can take Joanda, Chief, if you want to respond, and where questions that the department's reps might need to come in, you are at liberty to do so, to respond to those specific areas. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, honourable members. The questions to assist and the comments to assist. just to say, Chair, that just an example of assistance, the second page of Ackerman reference to the work with that engine, that is absolutely helpful with the work. Just the issue of the decrease, or rather the increase of the government assistance. In the place where it increases is in program one. It's increased by a reasonable amount, but it actually decreases in program two. It decreases again. Remember, talent assistance is a standardized item on the programs for every single programmable item that is budgeted for. And if it increases in program one, and decreases, and I know that it decreases in three other programs, mm-hmm. I would just want to urge members to then look at the fact that it possibly does adhere to state regulation at this. I always think of the state of relation at least as tasks that are given to government departments to do. And I think that adhere to that urgent call of the president, and of course was repeated in the finance minister's budget speech, austerity measures. I think, Chair, that honourable members must just look at the fact that it actually balances itself out. We can make statements such as that in the findings, but I'll leave that to chairperson and members to tell me whether I should insert a sentence to that nature, because that will deal with the question of members raised on that matter. The second matter, Chair, I think Honourable Sipo has been answered by result, Chair, on the matter of findings. There is a section of findings, but we can leave that up if members want. The Honourable Kupane on friendly accommodation. If the member can just look at the page, it actually says user friendly rather than just friendly. And what we mean by that, and the department can assist if you want to, that user friendly here has to do with that you don't want to give a department a building that does not suit that specific department's mandate, operational mandate. It must be a building that is usable for them. If we think, for instance, of Agumon SA as an entity, it's very difficult to situate that entity anywhere else but with the CNR where there is testing facilities to check the non-standardized materials. The user-friendly refers to that. rather than just friendly accommodation chair. I was not trying to make a joke when I said friendly chair. the amounts that we refer to,
yes,
and that is affected by the devaluation of the rand, because that's the issue. There, that amount for international. Let me just go to the page. That is indeed the war grades chair. This page is there. It's indeed page 10. That's indeed the amount for foreign governments and international organizations. That increases. That increase is due to the fact that we have to budget it up to make certain that we can actually send money there that is usable. That is indeed for the war graves as well as other buildings that we do have and property that we do have. We don't only have war graves, memorials that are being maintained on an annual basis, but there are also other buildings and gardens that we maintain. And that's what that amount is for.
I think it will be necessary to be explicit that so that people don't say,
yeah,
where is this money going to?
I will do
the that. More information we can give in that regard. The next question.
I will do that, sir. The one on the IDT, we will check the precise wording. Honorable Barnett says that she has, and I know she touched on it, it's a former journalist here later. Precisely what you say at that time, as I said. But just to make certain that we do the great thing, Chair, we will check our records, and then rather than saying unless, we will say how to speak at ease. So, thank you very much for that.
And the IDTs?
Yeah. The matter of the IDTs, we will instead of the same of opinion, because it's just fair that we actually do the same thing. I think that covered everything, Chair. Unless the department wants to add.
No, sir, thank you. I think the user friendly will also improve accessibility to those who don't provide the treatment of home affairs with buildings which are not accessible for the improvement. And I suspect that, Chair, in the report, I think you can at least turn around process which you
members, any further comments, questions? Honorable Sitole?
I didn't hear about the portfolio and department.
Yes.
Honorable Sitole, we could change that. Let me just say here that the reason why the word is a small p, we always write our portfolio committee is a small p, with a capital P and a capital C, because it's our name. The reason why it's a small p, Honorable Sitole, my apologies, I can't speak to you as well as you at the same time, because this is called brilliant capital. But it's because I try to refer always to what we oversee and what the minister is responsible for as a portfolio of things. And if it's better, I would use the word sector. If it's better to just not cause confusion, I could change the word. It is portfolio, so it's a bit difficult for me to say sector. Yeah.
No.
But the fact that you insisted on
the apology. All you have to do there, under the remit of the portfolio, X, Y, and Z. Then it indicates that it embraces of a number of subsets that will cover more clarity in terms of what Honorable Sitole has highlighted. We'll just make it more clear. Members, if there are no further inputs, Mabashita.
Thank you, Chair. I do refer to my last one. Chair, I was checking on the provision number 2014-17, the bullet number 3, where it says, on page 4, it says the rebuilding wage for the expenditure. and then in bracket, they include the proposal for more requirements from safeguard security. Is that our choice to discuss the portfolio committee or to the president of the department?
We did not specifically discuss it, but it was a point that was made in the State of the Nation address by the President, where he said that sooner than later we will have to look at having Parliament and the administration in one place, whether it's Cape Town, whether it's Pretoria, whether it's Kimberley. So I think they raise it in that context. But you can speak for yourself, sir. You are not an interest. Very much alive.
Chair, with the assistance of the department, we will word it slightly differently, Chair. Because it can be used, not be used, Chair, but it can be construed as controversial aspect. In right now, as we sit here, Chair, there's something that's being played over a program that actually deals with this matter, and it has caused a bit of heat. So if the committee permits, Chair, with the assistance of the department, we will change the way.
I think the way it's presently phrased there, with a phrase of wasteful expenditure, it's as if the current situation that has prevailed since 1910, where you have Parliament in Cape Town, administration in Pretoria, as if there is a deliberate waste. There isn't. There is a historical reason for why we have had this situation. So the intention is that the issue needs to be addressed, where you are going to have Parliament and the administration. So how that is phrased to capture the nuance made will be important. Is there anything else, good folks? The issue that you raised, Honorable Amin, yours is a policy, political issue. It cannot be addressed here. The first point that you made, the suitability of the individual who is currently the minister. So that's not part of our discussion in the court. It's a view that you hold. So I hope that will be understood. That you can articulate in the debate or elsewhere, but it's not part of substantially our report that was covered in the work of the portfolio committee. Yes, sir.
No, all of us here, but this is relevant in terms of this, so we would have to do February discussion for us. So, whether I was waiting until I think February, this is a positive case. These members that have been in charge of making sure that 6 years is spent in a correction. So, there's no way to question the other person. So, February is a positive, but you. But, Department of the Chairman is right.
That's within your right as a member of Parliament to articulate your view. And when you said that, I do think that the view that you articulate might not be agreed with by others, but my responsibility is to defend your right to articulate your views, and that of any other member. Good folks, is there any other aspect that you have not covered? If not, then I would suggest that what we can agree upon here is that the report has been canvassed with us. We have suggested refinement for the report, additions to the report. So then I'll ask you for us to adopt the report with the recommendations and additions that you have made, and then ask the drafters to provide us with the updated, for want of better conceptualization, the cleanup report, so that we have that before the close of business today, within the next hour or two. Would that be reasonable, Chief?
Yes, Chief.
So that as soon as you have added the comment additions for members, kindly circulate that to all of us as soon as possible between yourself and the corner. is that in order committee secretary. That's it. Anything else? There's none. Honourable members, thank you very much. Mover and a seconder. Honourable, there's a mover. Thank you. Can I have a seconder? Honourable Colour Barnett, shall you the second?
Second, yes,
I'll second it,
no problem.
I've also ably heard the views of Honourable Jamie. thank you very much. So, good folks, tomorrow we have our debate. What time, O'Connor, we send you? Okay. 60:40, which chamber? National Assembly Chamber. Honorable members, officials from the department, stakeholders, thank you very much.